Support for podcasting on KBIA comes from Grindstone Fitness Studio, a full-service gym offering equipment for traditional exercise like weight and cardiovascular training, as well as specialized classes. Choices include personal training, spinning, yoga, Pilates, and more. All classes taught by certified professionals. More information is available at 443-4447, Grindstone Fitness Studio, 3005 Chinaberry Drive in Columbia.
From the Missouri School of Journalism, welcome to Global Journalist. I'm David Reed. Turkey stands at the world's crossroads, both geographically and culturally. The country straddles the continents of Europe and Asia and is a contentious candidate for European Union membership. Turkey is a Muslim country, but a secular democracy. To strengthen its EU bid, Turkey has undertaken political and economic reforms. And free press advocates believe Turkey has the potential to inspire emerging democracies in the Middle East and North Africa. However, the government led by Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan has instead been repressing free speech and silencing its critics. The Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe found recently that the number of journalists imprisoned in Turkey nearly doubled over the past year. The International Press Institute, the IPI, says Turkey now has more journalists in prison than any other country in the world. Today on Global Journalist, we're joined by the IPI's executive director, Allison McKenzie, along with Faraj Tinch and Kadri Girsel. Kadri is a columnist for the Turkish daily Milliyet and the head of IPI's Turkish National Committee. Faraj is a former foreign editor and columnist for the Hürriyet daily news in Turkey. To set up our discussion, let's listen to a sample of broadcast reports about the arrests of journalists in Turkey in the past year.
Freedom of the media in Turkey is in the spotlight over the cases against four journalists accused of conspiracy to overthrow the government.
And the suspects include more and more journalists, including newspaper columnist Nedim Şener, arrested at his home. In a separate raid, police detained online news editor Ahmet Şik.
The defendants are accused of belonging to an ultra-nationalist group that prosecutors say is behind conspiracies against Prime Minister Tayyip Erdogan's AK party. They've been released pending trial. A further six defendants, mostly journalists, remain in detention.
I was initially told to trust the judiciary and that my husband was not arrested because of journalism or the books he wrote. Now that the indictment came out, we know Ahmet is behind bars only because of the book he wrote.
He was talking about this enigmatic figure, Fethullah Gülen. Şik was writing a book about him. Gülen is a charismatic Muslim cleric and a powerful ally of the Turkish government.
An investigation where Şik alleges that a religious network is infiltrating the police.
Nedim Şener, who spent a year in prison, says he was jailed because of an investigation he conducted into the high-profile murder of Turkish-Armenian journalist Hrant Dink.
Now, Allison, the jailing of Nedim Şener, who's an investigative reporter with the national newspaper Milliyet, seems to be a good example of what's happening to journalists in Turkey. Tell us about IPI's involvement in his case. You flew to Istanbul to reunite with Nedim after his release. That must have been an emotional greeting.
It was. But I'd like to say that while I flew to meet with Nedim and his family and Faraj and the members of the Turkish National Committee, We before Nedim went to prison, we were very concerned about the number of journalists who had been arrested and were in prison, and also importantly, the number of journalists who have not gotten appropriate medical attention and have died after being detained for a long time in prison. But having the opportunity to see him, because I had not seen him before then, I had only seen him when he received an award from the International Press Institute. And, of course, the mood was very different, and we were all happy and pleased to be able to honor him with IPI's highest award. And so I saw his wife after he'd been arrested, and I was just very moved by her strength and her commitment to not only get her husband out of jail, but to fight for all of the journalists in Turkey.
And Farai, you worked with him, and how's he doing now?
He hasn't started to write again, but there is this feeling, the heavy feeling in the climate, that most of the journalists don't feel very comfortable. For example, recently the Minister of European Union has asked Minister of Justice in Turkey about the number of the detained journalists. They got the answer of 92, but the excuse is very interesting regarding this journalist. The excuse is something that public opinion can be persuaded, which is terrorism.
Yeah.
All the journalists are under arrest or in prison with this pretext of helping terrorism or being a member or a sympathizer of terrorism, something like that. You are, writing about in a mainstream newspaper, and you are writing about from a secular Republican perspective, you are the member of an Ergenekon case, a terrorist organization which is aiming with the aim of overthrow the government. If you are a Kurdish journalist, you are from PKK organization, so you are working with them, and you have to be in jail. With this approach is very, very dangerous for Turkey. Even if the journalists are not in prison, they are living under this climate.
Right.
And Nedim is doing, he's trying to get used to the normal life, but I cannot say that the Nedim is the Nedim that we know before. He is really, how can I say, he's tense.
Right.
And he feels the pressure which is on him. And he has lost a lot of weight in the prison. And certainly the situation for them is not very easy.
And Kadri...
Yeah.
Kadri, can you... I'm going to let Kadri get in on this conversation as well. And you've written columns recently about the state of free press in Turkey. Do you see Nedim's case as kind of somewhat typical for what's going on there? And give us kind of an overview of what it's like to be a journalist, an independent journalist now in Turkey.
Well, it's very hard to be one because, you know, the media environment is also highly and deeply polarized. And being an independent journalism is not really the safeguard for escaping from the repression of the government, because there is an ongoing pressure and accelerating pressure. The pressure is getting heavier and heavier. Now there is no really in the mainstream media. There is no really newspapers or TV channels who are really free or broadcasting freely or publishing freely. The self-censorship has become the main driving force, instinct, let's say, in the part of the central media, while on the other hand, there is a growing portion of the government-controlled media. It's to give you an example, you can take as an example the Russian media without gas and oil, without Gazprom. You know what I mean?
Yes.
The government-controlled media, and we are squeezed between the government-controlled media and the sort of media where the self-censorship is who has the upper hand. So
right.
It's very difficult for journalists to survive under these conditions. and to fulfill the responsibilities that the journalism itself
right.
So it's.
Have you been personally affected by this and intimidated in any way? Or?
Well, today, for example, today in a pro-governmental website, I saw my name with other names who will be fired soon by a new CEO, pro-government CEO, who will take control of Milliyet and Vatan newspaper. So it's climbed to this extent. So it is really very unfair situation for those journalists who try to maintain their critical and distant position vis-a-vis the government.
And Fry, you recently left journalism. Did this repression have something to do with that?
I was aware. Actually, the main drive was that, because it's now for 2 years that in media we feel this climate, more than 2 years. And the first victim was the owner of Doğan Group, which Hürriyet belonged to that. And the government has issued a huge tax penalty for the group. And certainly the owner was afraid, and they didn't want to find themselves in controversial position with the government, and this has increased within the time. And at the last point, I found myself in a stand that I couldn't do my journalism. I couldn't write what I wanted to write. And even if one day, we had lately an appointed editor of censorship in the newspaper, who was obliged to read all the articles and call the writers not to write this, not to write that, in order not to get against the government. And this situation, certainly, I felt very, very, how can I say, breathless. It put me in a breathless environment. So I decided not to go on writing anymore, and I left to write in the newspapers, yeah.
Now, when Erdogan and his AK party came to power in 2002, many people were concerned that because the prime minister and his allies are fervent Islamists, that they would somehow turn secular Turkey into a religious regime. Instead, Erdogan moved more toward the West. He seems like to be a supporter of the independent media in the early years. Now, I guess, Allison, when did this start to change? And would you agree with that? That things have moved in the wrong direction?
Oh, well, of course I think they've moved in the wrong direction, but I really think this is a better question for Farai.
Farai, what do you think about that?
I would say that Erdogan government was never for the free media. Even if from their opposition, they had given the signals of their position. They were against the mainstream media. They were against. They wanted to create their own media. And in WikiLeaks, if you go through WikiLeaks and find, you will see that American diplomat, I'm not sure now, while talking with a Turkish political person, he was advising them to create their own media.
Right. That's
in order
true.
To get. To control all the Turkish society.
Right.
And this was what the AKP government wanted from the first moment. But the first years now, in 2000, they had the problem of how can I say, they wanted to prove themselves that they were not Islamists, that they were conservatives also. They wanted to prove themselves to the international public opinion. So the first years they didn't do anything, but from the first years of the government, while the Turkey was changing its penal code and was doing the reforms that European Union was requiring, the journalist associations, including IPI, asked the government, the new prime minister, Erdogan, at the time, to be very careful with the press freedom issues and to change, because the problem is in the legal system of Turkey, in the laws of Turkey, which is in penal code, in press code, in anti-terror law, there are articles that very easily a journalist can be interpreted as a terrorist and put into the jail. So we wanted this to be changed from the government. They said, yes, we will do that, but it's been 12 years they didn't do it. And they went to the to change the mainstream media. They succeeded it. They frightened all the owners of the media, as Kadri says. Any owner of the media wants to work with the opposition, with a journalist which wants to make any opposition or which says something to oppose to the government.
Right. It seems, Kadri, it seems like that the Turkey now is comparing, it's comparable to the Russian and Chinese models, which are more supportive of free speech, supportive of free market economies, and less supportive of domestic dissent. And sort of more toward the Russian and Chinese models and away from the EU model. Would you agree?
Well, partially, yes. It is obviously clear that there is a strong authoritarian drive in Turkey. And the one dimension that we can observe this change, this bitter change, is the media environment. Without a free media, without a free expression, there won't be in Turkey anyway, fair elections. There can be free elections, yes, but there won't be fair elections. And without fair elections, without the opposition having no access to mainstream media, there will be no fair elections in Turkey, and this will harm the legitimacy of Turkish democracy, and it will make Turkey's regime an electoral authoritarian one. Now the elements of mainstream media are pushed to the territories to less influential positions. They are fired, they are arrested, and they are under constant pressure. And there is no, visibly, there is no any line or any situation that this authoritarian drive will stop. So we need a more alarmed and more interventionist international media environment to make Turkey's rulers conscious that Turkey is monitored closely and their legitimacy will be questionable, will be put into question if they continue to do so.
Now, I want to get, Alison, I want to bring in some of the aspects of international pressure. But before we continue our discussion, I want to remind everyone that you can view or listen to this program anytime by downloading our podcasts at globaljournalist.org. You can also find interesting articles, photos, and interviews related to our program on our website. So please send us questions or comments via globaljournalist@kbia.org. org or our Facebook page. You can also follow us on Twitter at GJJournalist. Allison, does Turkey really want to get in the EU? And if they want to get in the EU, don't they have to reform some of these laws that are repressing journalists?
I think there is a desire to join the EU. How strong that desire is, you'll hear different arguments depending on what side you're on. But, you know, in the autumn, the EU Commission will look at which countries, they will look at the enlargement package in the autumn. And so what surprised us most is that in the materials, the International Press Institute is one of the organizations that the European Commission's enlargement package organization asked to look at the document and to comment on it. And when it comes to Turkey and the other eight countries, the report is very vague on the improvement of human rights standards, most notably journalists in prison and the abuse of anti-terrorism laws to stifle press freedom. So unless those are listed very strongly and a message is sent that unequivocally that these are important issues that must be changed and addressed in order for Turkey or any other country to enter the EU, then we could have a similar situation like Hungary, which entered and then 6 months later, you know, it sort of reared its head. Mm-hmm. But it's important, as you just heard from Kadri and Farai, and you'd hear from, I think, many of the journalists with Platform for Journalists and IPI's National Committee in Turkey to put international pressure. So we were really pleased when Hillary Clinton finally came out last year and made some comment about what's happening in Turkey in terms of press freedom and journalists in jail. But to mention it one time every 2 years is just not enough.
Right.
And I think all the press freedom organizations agree on this, and we have done a lot of collaborative work in terms of joint press statement and missions to deal with the issue in Turkey.
Now, Kadri, what strategies, and I know you're on IPI's Turkish National Committee, what are some strategies to try to increase the domestic pressure, rallies or such as they had on the anniversary of the death of the Armenian Turkish journalist? What can be done domestically to try to rally support for free press?
Without the support of the international media environment or media associations, you mean?
Yeah, well,
the first thing I think is to show or create a conscience among the public opinion that the press freedom as concept or as idea or an ideal situation is vital for them to decide, for them to make their mind freely and fairly. I think we are far away from this point. Let's make an autocriticism. The media also have in the past done some mistakes. Of course, it's obviously clear, but these mistakes do not necessitate the whole capitulation of the media to the political field and this authoritarian drive. We need to make understand for the others that our freedom is their freedom, and our freedom to write freely without any pressure political pressure, is their freedom to choose. And in general terms, in a larger aspect or angle, democracy has no sense without free media. It is basic realities, but I think the Turkish public opinion is far away of the conscience, of that conscience, let's say.
Farai, would you agree that it seems a bit hopeless? Do you agree that the Turkish public is not really that concerned about having a free press as part of democracy?
Certainly, yeah. For the time being, I agree completely with Kadri. But on the other hand, we have to be hopeful all the time, and we have to struggle. You have to be optimistic. No, you have to believe that you will overcome all the problems. So I think that in the society, we can see rising resistance to the government political pressure from the different groups of society. For example, artists, actors, writers, academicians, students, workers, those groups who are really, they started to feel the pressure of the government.
Okay.
They, for example, recently in the 1st of May, all over Turkey, there were a lot of thousands and thousands of people.
Now, Farai, I'm sorry that I'm sorry I have to interrupt you. We've come to the end of this week's edition of Global Journalist, produced at the Reynolds Journalism Institute and the Missouri School of Journalism. Joining us today were IPI Director Allison McKenzie and Farai Tinch and Kadri Gürsel, journalists in Turkey. Global Journalist is directed by Travis McMillan, audio by Pat Akers. Raymond Tungakar is our executive producer. Sirvani Pear is our lead producer, assisted by Lee G. Unchung, Allison Pasek, and John McClure. Now stay with us for Free Press Watch and join us again next week for another Global Journalist. I'm David Reed.
And now, Free Press Watch, a segment on Global Journalists where each week we bring you a rundown of major events affecting press freedom around the world. I'm Lainey Mullen. Today's news comes from the Committee to Protect Journalists, the International Press Institute, and Reporters Without Borders. Three photojournalists and a newspaper employee were murdered in Mexico last week. Their bodies were found on World Press Freedom Day in plastic bags in a canal in the state of Veracruz. Their deaths highlight the perils facing journalists covering the drug cartels in Mexico. A constitutional amendment and a bill to promote journalist safety are currently under consideration in the Mexican Congress. At least 15 journalists were arrested or beaten by police and protesters in Moscow during a demonstration against Vladimir Putin's third term of presidency. As well, the websites of several leading independent opposition news services, including Radio Echo of Moscow, were made unavailable for several hours during the demonstration. Journalists in Greece encountered an unusual form of press censorship last week when those covering the press conference for the Golden Dawn Party were obliged to stand in welcome of the party leader. Some journalists refused to stand and were made to leave. Mostly foreign press remained. For more information on these and other events affecting press freedom around the world, please visit our website at globaljournalist.org. Thank you for joining us this week on Global Journalist. I'm Lainey Mullen.